You're now listening to Her Story, Women Who Lead, with your host, Sandra Bieber. This is a dynamic and inspiring podcast that really dives into the rich tapestry of women's history, explores critical topics in women's health, and celebrates the profound impact women have on our communities. Stay with us. All right, everybody. First of all, I'm so excited. I have such a good friend with me today, Lori Reinert, my good friend, chamber employee, the force behind the Chamber Foundation. Really a woman of impact, somebody that is kind, somebody that is courteous, really gets things done in this region. And when you think about the Chamber, you can't think about the Chamber without thinking about Lori. Welcome to Her Story, and thank you for joining us. I want to dive in and just introduce yourself. Tell the folks who you are. I know I gave you a little intro, but let the world know who you are.
You did. You're making me blush. I'm Lori. I work at the Chamber. I've been there about 18 years. I came there from, it's kind of a long story, but just to shortcut it, I was a stay-at-home mom when my kids were real little, and I was a Kelly girl, so I did some temporary work during those years. I worked at Kids Peace, Air Products, Dun & Bradstreet, the Slatington Lamp Factory, Mays Ford. So one day they called and said, we have a job at City Dog. Would you like to take it? And I didn't know anything about City Dog, but it turned out to be a great experience, changed my life completely, exposed me to other countries, other cultures, creativity. The woman I worked with, her name was Karen O'Brien. She's like family to me. We're still in touch.
Wow.
But she needed a help with sales managing. Yeah. So we didn't have internet back then or cell phones. So she'd be on the road all the time and I'd kind of be her home base. She did so much traveling that she was out of shape. So she hired a trainer. And one of the pieces of my work was to work out with her, which I ended up loving, overdid, hurt myself, ended up on a bike, got into cycling. I was elected to be president of the local cycling club. I got to meet Olympians. I got to help little kids become Olympians. It was such a great experience and gave me a community that I didn't have as a stay-at-home mom. I just loved being around other grown-ups, and this was like the best thing that I could think of. And then one day, that job came to an end because of, I think it was around 2007, 2008, the recession. So I got laid off.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure what I would do. Mm-hmm. I ended up being a staffing manager. So the other end of the temporary staffing, I was a staffing manager. I joined the Chamber for networking reasons. Tony walked in one day and said, I need help. I need an assistant. And I was an ambassador. I already knew the staff. It was such an easy transition, and he's been wonderful. He's given me so many opportunities to grow. So when I first started, I helped him with his staff and his board, and then I, also helped him with our foundation, which now I manage without a lot of input from him. So he's really trusted me to take the reins of that. And then also we've started the Nonprofit Business Partners Council since then. So that's about 10 or 15 years old. So I always told him I didn't want to be bored.
Yeah.
That was kind of my...
And you are not.
I am not.
Bored, you are not.
Bored, I'm not. So every day is different. Yeah. I get to choose what I'm working on. I've grown my own community here with other nonprofit leaders, and they're such great people. And it makes me smile that I get to do this every day, and it's called work.
I love that. And tell me a little bit about the foundation. What is the Chamber Foundation, and what impact is it making in the community?
Sure. The Chamber Foundation actually started with the Bethlehem Chamber in 1985. Mm-hmm. It was created to raise money for holiday decorations, being the Christmas city. So they used to mail out those little stamps to put on the envelopes of Christmas cards, and then people would send, $10 back to the Chamber, and that was kind of the fundraising for the lights and the trees and all that stuff in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And then as the Chamber grew and grew, we expanded the support to every community, not just for Christmas lights, but for all community development projects. So there's outdoor lighting, outdoor seating, murals, banners, accessible parks and playgrounds. So mm-hmm. it's really a way that we can give back to all of our main streets, mm-hmm. help them shine. And it really creates community pride within the community. So it's really placemaking, I would say. And it's separate from the chamber. It's our 501c3 charitable arm, but it couldn't exist without the chamber.
Yeah.
And our fundraising for all of those things comes from Snowball.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about Snowball. So funny story, you know this story, but I don't know if everybody knows the story, but I was an intern at the chamber for a long time, and you were one of the kindest people at the chamber, and everybody was, but it really was one of those experiences that mold you and set you up for success. So the chamber does such a great job with bringing in young and the next generation of people that want to perhaps work in nonprofits or perhaps work in business. So tell us a little bit about, first, the Snowball is important, and I had that experience with that Snowball because I worked behind the scenes and was able to see the amount of details that go into that gala is just amazing. And so this year, I know we're collaborating, but in a different light. So I'm excited about that too.
We are. So every other year at Snowball, the Chamber Foundation is the auction beneficiary. Yeah. This year we partnered with CALV and Second Harvest Food Bank. They are going to be the beneficiary. So it's their responsibility to bring in all the auction items. Mm-hmm. And it's really our only big, fancy signature gala.
Yeah.
And people love to come. You can get all dressed up and bid on things. And all of the money that you spend on all of those items, you know, is going to such a good cause. It's a feel-good whole party.
I love that. And I think one thing that I admire most is the fact that we're able to work together in collaboration, right? So the Chamber is a nonprofit. And being able to serve nonprofits just like they do has been really something inspiring for me to watch. And, you know, the Nonprofit Business Partners Council has been one of those, from an educational forum, bringing those leaders together, the funders together, the sponsors, to kind of talk about what the pressing issues are. I know that you have some things coming up as well, but what's the vision for this year? 2026 is among us. It's January. It's the start of the year. What is really some things that you really want to lock down for both the foundation and for yourself and even the Nonprofit Business Partners?
Well, the Nonprofit Business Partners has a great board, and the board is, you know, made up of half nonprofit leaders and half for-profit leaders, which is collaboration in and of itself. But it really is about the relationships. Like, this group loves each other. They're not just there to say, you know, yes, you'll support this, or yes, they'll support that. Mm-hmm. It's really the relationships and the mission behind all of the work that happens.
Absolutely.
And it's a chance for people who don't know each other to get to know each other and collaborate between sectors and even in their own sectors. So, like, there's chances to have conversations about a topic like opioid addiction, aging, the census, ethical storytelling. Sometimes we talk about the state budget and how that impacts some of our nonprofits.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like childcare, if childcare centers are closed, it really impacts our business community. So everything, you know, goes hand in hand to make the world go round.
That's right.
And it's really wonderful to see the transition from when we started the Nonprofit Business Partners Council. Mm-hmm. All of the, not all, but a lot of nonprofits saw themselves competing with other nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And now it's the mindset has shifted. And now
Absolutely.
I think people see that there's strength in numbers. So when one nonprofit's strong, it makes the other one strong and they can share resources.
Yes.
And just refer people back and forth and to help, you know, make a bigger impact. And that's really what it's all about.
That's great. And the collaboration, I think, in the region, we always talk about collaboration. But I think that's what sets us apart. There is competition in some ways, right? But competition in the way that I'm going to do good, you're going to do good too. So if there is something that maybe isn't a fit for me, but could be a fit for X, Y, and Z nonprofit or an X, Y, and Z business, it works. And I said this the other day, I was telling my mom this, and I said, when you do something in love, and you bring it out in love, and you bring it to someone, and you try your best to do something, it's always going to come back to you in some way. it may not come from that person that you gave, or maybe it will, or maybe it, but it will come in some direction. Some, you know, when you need a day, a merciful day, it's that that mercy is coming, or that that grace is coming. I think that's kind of the seeds that the chamber has planted in that in our community, and really we're thriving because of that, because we're able to work together from a nonprofit's perspective, from a business perspective, from a chamber perspective, and it's kind of like the middle grounds too, where you can bring people together. And one of the things is bringing people together. You have a core, a piece about you that you love to bring people together. You love peace. You love harmony. If you were a hippie, you'd probably be a hippie. I could imagine you doing that.
Yeah.
But it's so inspiring for me to see, for others to see. So tell us a little bit about how you go about connecting and collaborating with people in that way.
I think the first part is to, like you said, there's love in it. I think you have to lead from the heart, mm-hmm. and you have to, like, I learned a lot through cycling by leading from behind. I mm-hmm. think, you know, if you're on a group ride and somebody's having a bad day and they're, you know, not feeling well and they're hanging way in the back, like, go back there and be with them and encourage yeah. them and, you know, make sure there's air in their tires and that, you know, maybe they didn't drink their water or maybe they're just dealing with something and it's distracting. But, you know, the group can't move forward when somebody's lagging left behind. So
yes.
I think that's the mindset that I bring with me every day to what we do at the chamber.
Awesome.
And it is about lifting up others.
Absolutely.
You know, when we had the pandemic yeah. and we had to stay home,
yeah.
none of us knew what would happen. You know, we didn't know if there'd be money for payroll. And there's
yeah.
Tony dipping into our bank account and giving money. Like, he,
yeah.
like, it would be the opposite of what I would think. Like, I
yeah.
am the detail person, but
yeah.
he's a visionary.
Yeah.
Like, who would have thought to take money out of the chamber's reserves
yes.
and give it to small businesses?
Absolutely.
But he was getting calls from people. Like, that's their livelihood. That's how they feed their families.
For sure.
Like, what do we do with all of these businesses? We
yeah.
can't let them, like, close. We're going to need them when we're all back to work.
Absolutely.
So he had that brilliant idea. We had some great partners that matched the dollars that we were giving away. And because of our foundation, we already had a process to review grants and get the money to those people who needed it, like, within a week. So literally, you didn't have to be a chamber member. There was no huge application. You just tell us you need it and we'll send you the check. And that built so much goodwill for people. I think, like you said, it's
Absolutely.
Coming back to us now because we were there for people when
for
they
sure.
really needed it.
Yes.
And he did it because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really drives most of the chamber
mm-hmm.
community events too. Like, one of the things I was thinking about with the chamber's impact is, like, we are in every community on every main street. And if the chamber wouldn't be there
yeah.
holding, you know, community festivals, like, there would be no music in the park.
Yeah.
There would be no Santa Claus. There would be no tree lightings because our staff is out there building relationships. And that's where they live. Like, they do
that's
it
right.
because they love their community.
Absolutely.
And it's a whole lot of work. We gave grants away on Christmas Eve
yeah.
during the pandemic. Like, Jess
yep.
and I were there. Like,
yep.
let's get that money
mm-hmm.
to these people. Like, it's Christmas.
Absolutely.
And it's just really being genuine, I think, is the bottom line. Like, just do the right thing.
Yes.
And that love will come back to you.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think for the viewers that are just graduating, for example, the, you know, our college graduates that are looking to get into internships. And I remember being a junior coming in, and I said, I prayed to God. I said, I promise if I get off of this elevator and I get this role, I just need to get my toe in, I'll be in and I'll do the best that I can. And what is that thing that you would relay to those interns that want to come into the chamber, those young professionals that want to get involved? What is something that you want to pass on to that next generation of, whether it's a, you know, a female empowering, whether it's an intern, where do you see those individuals fitting in and how do we bring them into the community?
I think the chamber is a great place for young leaders to dip their toes in. I think that they're exposed to how boards work, what role volunteers play in making our community shine,
yes.
How we can help others,
mm-hmm.
and it It makes us feel good to help other people. Yeah. And there's so many nonprofit boards that need a fresh set of eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, they shouldn't be, you know, worried about not having enough experience to have to make a contribution. I think just having a different perspective
Absolutely.
And that energy, mm-hmm. and they're so much smarter than I am. Yeah. And I like, I'm so impressed with the young people who are coming in. Like, I just learn from them every day.
Absolutely.
They also, you know, should know that it's a lot of work. Community development is not for the faint of heart.
Like, for sure.
We need more resources. We need more staff on the streets. But the work is so meaningful that that all fades away. But you have to live it. Like, you
absolutely. Like,
it's not a 9-to-5. It's
for
a,
sure.
A, you know,
yes.
If you're in Hellertown, you're living in Hellertown. You're lighting that tree.
Yeah.
Santa's coming. You're hanging up lights. Like, you're rolling up your sleeves, planting flowers, and
yeah.
You know, it's just it's all about community. It's all about loving what you do, and it's so rewarding.
I love that. And, you know, one of the going on that vein, because who you are as a person and, you know, growing up, what road did you take? Because you took a little bit of a break when you were raising your kiddos. And mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful. I think sometimes you have to make decisions like that, right? You got to do what's best for your family. And then you went and you worked at several different spots and you got all of this experience. What would you tell a young mom, someone that is maybe struggling between keeping a career or staying at home or doing both? So what advice would you give to folks that are asking?
Well, I thought I'd be an orthopedic surgeon, but okay. I pass out. So yeah. That didn't work out for me. But I think the human body is fascinating. So
yeah.
I did take some anatomy, physiology
yeah.
kind of classes. And while I was doing that, I was working at City Dog, ended up at the Chamber. And the work that the Chamber does, I don't think we like toot our own horn enough, but
mm-hmm.
people don't always know what the Chamber does. A mm-hmm. lot of people think it's part of the government, but it's really community building.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need more young people in that industry. I don't think it's something that's especially taught in school. It's
yeah.
really to love where you live and to build your own community, whether that's communities of faith, communities of color,
yeah.
Business communities, recreation communities. Like, even when you retire, they say you need a third place, like
yes.
a gym or like pickleball's big, like
yeah.
you need people, like
yeah.
you need a coffee shop or you need somewhere you can go where you're comfortable and there's people around you that love the same things that you love. I think that's really important. And one of my favorite projects from the foundation was an accessible playground.
Yeah.
We helped with some equipment in, I think it was North Catasauqua, but that was, you know, the government grant.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a public-private partnership and all of the volunteers. But when they hung the equipment, it was for a little boy who was in a car accident. He was in his car seat, but unfortunately isn't mobile, but totally, like, they strapped him onto that swing and I'm gonna cry.
Oh,
the
wow.
change in his face, like
yes.
he could play too. It was
yeah.
like it was the best thing.
Oh.
It was the best thing I've ever done. Like
wow.
just stood there and cried. And
yeah.
you know, we gave him $2,000, which isn't much, but it was everything. Like
wow.
it was everything. So.
And I think it's about those stories about connecting. Right?
It was amazing. Like this
yeah.
little burrow and
yeah.
this little playground just meant the world to this little boy, and what an example for that kid, for
yes.
other kids that also could use this new equipment that couldn't play
before.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That brings me to tears as well, because really when you talk about community development, you are sincerely talking about connecting with people, loving on people, being able to be there in their hardest time. And especially with the business community now, with all of the things happening, whether, you know, the government's in flux or whether figuring out things and we're trying to get our pieces together, we're working alongside of elected officials. We're working alongside of, you know, the individuals that are have skin in the game here. And there's a reason why the world is the way that it is. But when we look at it from a collective perspective, we are a global village here in the region. And we have so many people coming in from all over the world, whether they're studying at Lehigh University or at Moravian or at Muhlenberg College, or they're coming in for an internship, or they're coming in to you know, work at Olympus for a short time as an expat or for long term. There are so many different ways to connect the community. And I think one of the good things that I know about you personally, and women in particular, I know that we had Danielle on the show, but the Women's Business Council has been tremendous for just being able to bring like-minded women together to make an impact, to empower one another, that we are in each other's camp to help support. So collaboration is not just, oh, it's just a word on paper, or it's just a word on social media. It is happening. What's the story that you've seen come out of the Women's Business Council or from other nonprofits in that way?
Well, the Nonprofit Business Partners Council, we get together every month for our meetings, and we don't talk about business or, you know, spend a lot of time on what we're working on. We just really catch up with each other, and yeah. I just have to sit and kind of smile because we're all so busy every day, and we're in it, and we're working, and we're, you know, in our silos and doing our own work. But then when we get together with people that we realize that we love. It's yeah. just so beautiful when you realize, like, the work is, it's who you are because mm-hmm. your heart is in it and you're helping other people. Like, so many people who are in leadership roles in nonprofits had some sort of experience.
Absolutely.
Or family member or something that drove them to be in that work because it's not easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot. But I think it's just so meaningful, and the people who do that work are such great people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but just fall in love with them. So yeah. I think that's my third place, you know, that I was talking about. Oh. I don't have a coffee shop anymore. I don't play pickleball. I don't cycle. Like, I don't do any of those things, but I have all of these people who I've learned about and love.
Absolutely.
As a result of the work that I get to do with the chamber. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, we talk about sunshine and roses and collaboration, but what has been like a difficult thing that you've had to overcome? And, you know, what is something that put some, not thick skin, but something that, you know, made you realize, all right, I can survive this. I got to figure out better ways to cope and work better in that.
Yeah, I think Dale Carnegie helps me with that. I took a Dale Carnegie class. I did so many things. Like, I think it's that not being bored thing, but I was a real estate sales agent for a while. And my yeah. kids, like, moved out of the house. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And my husband's like, get your real estate license. You like looking at houses. You're nosy. So I did. And, yeah. you know, so I had to go back to school and go through the whole process and take all the tests and go find a broker. And I found people there that I love, too. So I think I just really like the people part of it.
Yes.
Like, even with the cycling, it wasn't about riding the bike. It was like catching up with whoever was riding next to me. Like, I made yeah. some lifelong friends mm-hmm. through doing that. I have all of these things that I need to accomplish, and I have all of these deadlines, and I need to raise so much money. Like, yes. how am I going to do all of this stuff? And it's like, one day, like, you have to compartmentalize and do one thing at a time and prioritize what needs to happen today. And I think, you know, just take care of today
yeah.
and be present. I think, you know, you spend so much time being worried about things that haven't happened yet. So I think taking a step back and being in the moment, and so many of us are on our devices now and looking at what everyone else is doing and comparing yes. this and that. I think it's just important to stay grounded and take care of your business and do it with your whole heart.
That's
and
right.
back to doing the right thing. I think it just comes back to you in spades
yeah.
and everything works out.
That's so good. That is so good because, you know, whether it's mindfulness or whether you are, you know, dealing with the pressures, I think a lot of nonprofits, especially this past year, have really been put through the ringer. You know, funding cuts and being able to survive that and being able to, you know, work together. I know that I've been on several teams. Obviously, I was on your team, and I love that team. And I take something from every team that I have been a part of. And we're going to leave the bad, and we're going to take the good. And one thing that I've realized is that we are a collective force of good, and we all rely on the strengths of one another. And so when one is weak, we come in with the strength that potentially could figure that out. So in closing, I would say for you, I want to ask you your vision. Give us your vision of what you see for not just this year, but what you want to impart in life to people, and what do you want to share?
Well, I want people to know, you know, that the Chamber Foundation is there for that community development work. I think that having almost 20 years mm-hmm. of experience with that and giving over $1 million back Amazing. To the community, that's a lot. Like, to some people, that's not a lot of money, but for us, that's a lot of money.
Sure.
And every dollar that we give is matched 20 times. So yeah. it's all about the collaboration. It's finding the other, like, some of the boroughs do a car wash to make up the other half of the money that's required to get our grants.
Yeah.
We have the Girl Scouts involved. We have, you know, they do some of our landscaping projects. We have school kids helping with some of the murals. So it's really hands-on. It really helps the neighbors get to know each other. And
Absolutely.
When one of the neighbors' place is looking nice, you know, the next door neighbor's like, oh, that looks good. I'm going to do that,
Jones is looking
too.
Real good.
Yeah.
Those Joneses.
So, you know, you put flowers in front of one of the businesses, the yes. next business down the street's going to say, oh, that looks good. I'm going to do that too. And pretty soon the whole block looks great. People
yeah.
are out, you know, enjoying each other and you know, people used to sit on their stoop and know their neighbors, and
yeah.
we're kind of getting back to that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a really good build, actually, because people are getting back to getting to closer to their neighbors. I feel like people are starting to have that connectivity again, where although that we see them online or whatever, there's nothing like an in-person being able to see someone and talk to them and chat with them and say, hey, how are you doing? Because someone could be like, I'm fine. And you can't even read that through text.
Right.
And then just being like, really, how are you? And I think that's what's making, that's the recipe for an incredible business community, is checking in with that pulse. One thing I will mention is that, you know, Northside Bethlehem and Bethlehem community, a lot of these businesses are just phenomenal. But being here on the South Side for a little bit, I mean, I've worked here from the South Side on and off for like 5-6 years. But I really love the energy here, not just in Bethlehem, but in Easton and Allentown. The smaller boroughs are phenomenal. Nazareth is something special, right? You see, I mean, good old Schnecksville. I love Schnecksville too. You can't knock Schnecksville. But, you know, one of your favorite things that you love to do in the Lehigh Valley.
I think our parks are
yeah.
remarkable. I used to meet Karen at the park. Like, part of my job was we'd meet at the parkway, we'd run the whole thing, we'd go back to her office, our trainer would come and we'd do the weights. Like,
amazing.
I just think that our outdoor space here
is phenomenal.
Is so good.
Yeah.
Like, so many cities don't have that space.
That's right.
I don't know if people know that we have that space.
They don't. Allentown has more parkland per capita than any other state, likewise.
We also have the rail trails,
mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of opportunities, even our parks and playground. And when I say accessible parks and playgrounds, it might not be for handicapped kids,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
even the grandparents who are taking them there, you know,
yeah.
we make sure that they can get from the parking lot to wherever the playground is, and that there's covered seating and water fountains. So there's just, like, every little project builds on itself.
Yes.
And I think that my vision is for all of those things to eventually, like, we should have accessible playgrounds in all of our boroughs, not
That's
just
beautiful.
One of our boroughs. We
Yes.
should have murals everywhere. We should have flowers everywhere.
I love
you
that.
Know, so there's so much opportunity. I just see it growing and growing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today. And you have been an honor to have as a guest. And I'm so grateful that I know you, that we know you, that we are a treasure here in the region. And thank you for joining us on Her Story today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
You've been listening to Her Story. I'm your host, Sandra Bieber.